Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. Especially those right in front of us here at Bounce Del Rey. It's your boy Theo Dorsey. C-Cat and I are on the move with SafeBound Moving and Storage here at Bounce Del Rey Beach. It is the start, the kickoff. Week one of college football tonight. We got four ranked teams playing. We got Colorado also taking on North Dakota State. That's the game everybody's all into. That's the game everybody's lining up to see. And then more importantly, this is the tip-off to fantasy football season. Like, this right here is prime draft weekend. Anybody that drafts for fantasy football before this weekend is crazy. They're out of their mind. They're idiotic. If you don't wait until this weekend, you've been doing it wrong. C-Cat, this day is huge, not just because it's Evan Cohen's birthday. By the way, I forgot to shoot him a text. I got to shoot him a text. But his birthday present, his birthday wishes were granted. And though it was a sad news for one dude, at least, in that Patriot locker room, Jerod Mayo announced the good news for Evan Cohen and Patriot fans alike, because he made the right decision. He pulled the trigger. QB1 for the New England Patriots is going to be Jacoby Brissett, the Dwyer alum, wow, the Palm Beach County star, the last guy to win a football state championship on the prep level out here on the FHSAA level, C-Cat. And now he's going to be suiting up QB1 for the Patriots. Like, things are churning.
Things are churning, and we're delaying the inevitable, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's exactly. Kind of widely accepted, including Jerod Mayo, that Drake May will eventually be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. He will be attempt number two at the new face of the Patriots after the failed experiment that we saw with Mac Jones.
Was Mac Jones a failed experiment?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think he was.
Yes, absolutely he was. And you know what, though, C-Cat? On top of that point, it's funny because – with that good news are the unintended consequences that Jerod Mayo also had to break the bad news to our guy, Drake May, who's done nothing but impress since he stepped foot in Foxborough, right? Like, even Jerod Mayo, in an honest moment on a radio station, told us he's been the quarterback that's performed the best this preseason. He's looked good in camp. He is promising for the future of the Patriots, but it's most likely an opportunity for them to protect him from himself, right? He's like Scrappy Doo. He's ready to go. In fact, the disappointing news that Jerod Mayo had to break to our guy Drake May, almost as disappointing as when I just found out from a commenter on YouTube that apparently there's allegations going on out there that I got a receding hairline.
You showed up to work today with a hat on.
Yeah.
I don't think it was any coincidence.
That's crazy. You think that I've been – I didn't see the comment until you told me about it today, though. But I have worn a hat for the past 2 days, and part of it has been because I've been waiting on getting a haircut. I don't like the way, you know, I'm a former TV guy. I'm a big YouTube star with our digital reporting here for ESPN West Palm Play. My looks are my brand.
Yeah.
It's part of my value. We stream live on YouTube every day here at Theo Speaking. It's where people tap in.
You know, once you migrated to more of the radio personality and away from the TV personality, at least for the time being, I told you that I will do everything within my power to tear down your looks.
Yeah.
Radio is an ugly man's game, Theo, and we are destined to make you that ugly man.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to assimilate to that. I'm trying to evolve with it. That's why we have the streaming. You see, when we kicked off, Theoretically Speaking, back in April, which is also, by the way, for Bounce Del Rey, they actually started here at the Del Rey Beach Market in March. So we're synonymous with them in that. We're locked in, twin. We're cooking with a team that is also kind of new to the area. So make sure you pull up to Bounce Del Rey and kick it with us, because we have a fun show today. Jamie Eisenberg going to pull up later from CBS Sports, our fantasy football expert.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, too, before we get into this Jerod Mayo, Drake May news with the New England Patriots, throughout the day, we're taking your fantasy football questions ahead of draft weekend. You can call, you can tweet, you can send them to us via Instagram. We're going to be delivering those to Jamie Eisenberg when he pulls up, the fantasy football guru. And again, if you want to call into the show and drop one off on us, we'll hold it for him. You hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. The decision's been made, so we know right now in New England that Jerod Mayo broke the news to Drake May. And here is, by the way, the former North Carolina star, the future of the Patriots, Drake May, responding. And if you can hear it in his voice, C-Cat, he's disappointed. He's floored because he feels like he won this job, and Jerod Mayo all but said it to us publicly. Here's Drake May and how he handled the disappointing news.
I didn't already be the starter, and I don't think that's going to change. You know, I'm still going to shoot one play away. So I'm just got to be ready for all circumstances and here to help Jacoby and keep the vibes in the quarterback room, you know, up, because it's, you know, nothing's going to change, and you know, still root for him and cheer for him. Coach Mayo's great, you know, up front. That's, you know, the biggest thing is communication. He just said, hey, you know, Jacoby, you know, we're out there week one. You know, let's take most of the reps. Which, you know, you get throughout, you know, camp, you'll kind of understand. And other than that, just continue doing what I was doing. I feel like I was doing a good job throughout camp and throughout the preseason. So other than that, just keep doing what I'm doing.
C-Cat, who handled the demoralizing news better? Me, when you told me that people have been saying my hairline's receding, or Drake May when he found out that he's not going to be QB1 when the Patriots take on the Bengals September 8th?
You had tears in your eyes when I broke the news to you. So I'm going to say Drake May. And it's surprising because these quarterbacks are told time and time again that they're number one. They're number one. They go to North Carolina. They're the best player in the area in high school. Yep. They go to the NFL. It's a whole new ball game. And he was told he's not number one. You're the second best option right now. It's a very humbling experience for a quarterback who was the top wherever they've gone.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of humbled a little bit.
And on top of that, again, he was the third quarterback picked in that draft. He feels like he's likely going to be have a chance to be the best guy, the top dog. And for Drake May, I know a lot of people are talking about what his feelings should be today. One thing that kind of sticks out to me is, well, what about Jacoby? Like, everybody's like, yo, you don't want to try Drake May out there because the offensive line is one of the worst in the league. There's no weapons out there for Jacoby Brissett or Drake May to take advantage of and have a offense that can threaten defensive coordinators and whatnot. It is an abysmal situation, and that's what you want to protect Drake May for. And if I'm Jacoby Brissett, I'm like, well, then, dog, why the hell y'all throwing me out there with that?
I would say Jacoby's been in this league for a long time for a reason. It's not because of anything that he's really done kind of on the field. It's more between the ears and someone that you want in your quarterback room and someone that can at least commandeer an offense for a time or two. He's a very mature individual. We've learned that from here at Dwyer. So I think that that's what Jacoby, he's at peace as to what his job is.
Yeah.
And that is to be that bridge quarterback. That is to be the adult in the room.
He gets it, right? He's like, he's a bridge guy. He's the mentor. The last thing you can do as well is, it's okay for Jacoby Brissett to fail a couple weeks in a row here and then get pulled and you go to Drake May. If that happens the other way around, you could break May's confidence. And you could have a situation like what Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa had when he's over here splitting time between Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick. At one point, you got Fitzpatrick coming in to be the closer for the Dolphins and whatnot. It was an absolute clown show. You can't have that. So I think what Jerod Mayo did here in his rookie season, and also simultaneously a veteran head coach, well-respected future Hall of Famer, and Mike Tomlin out there in Pittsburgh, who had a similar but different situation. Fields is not the definitive future of the Steelers franchise, right? Like, he's an option maybe down the line.
He's got a whole lot more to prove, for sure.
But if you're both of these coaches, it's always easier. It's the easy, smart decision. You go with the veteran, and then if things change, you move on and you give the young guy a chance. Same situation for Russell Wilson. He gets the QB1 job. If you ask me, if you look at the film, if you look at the upside, Justin Fields felt like he did just enough to edge out Russell Wilson, who barely played this preseason. Like, I would have went with Fields just for the fact that I know I got Arthur Smith calling the plays, and look at what he did with Taylor Heineke and Desmond Ridder. You give him a guy like Fields with some real wheels, like, we can get this thing cooking.
Yeah, I think that Russell Wilson is the safe choice because the Steelers know that they can win with very vanilla quarterback play, very just kind of plain Jane, white bread, Wonder Bread, whatever quarterback play with Russell Wilson. You won't get the explosive great plays with Russell Wilson, at least we've seen the past couple of years.
Absolutely not.
But you won't see the catastrophic plays that we might be able to see from Justin Fields. I think it's a low floor, high ceiling with Fields, and very, you kind of know what you're getting with Russell Wilson at this stage of the game. Russell Wilson still thinks he can play at Super Bowl level football. And I think he's going to have a lot to prove in 2024 to make the job of Mike Tomlin as difficult as possible to keep Justin Fields on the bench and keep more Russell Wilson starts.
Yeah, like if you're Wilson, again, we've talked about, is this guy a lock for the Hall of Fame? He's not. He's definitely not in my book. And this season is going to be a huge data point on that, because if he can't fend off Fields for at least the first half of the year, if he can't fend off Fields and become the starter at least for the majority of this season for the Steelers, that case is going to get smaller and smaller. Here's the question, though. Here's the question, because now we know in both QB controversies and both QB battles, we have our answer. It is Russell Wilson for the Steelers. It is Drake May – or excuse me, it will be Drake May. Right now it's Jacoby Brissett for the Patriots. Which one of these two quarterbacks actually starts more games in 2024? And I think the answer is quite clearly it's going to be Jacoby Brissett.
No, I'm completely on the other side of the fence.
Really?
Absolutely on the
Give
other side
why,
of the fence.
Why you think that Russell Wilson will start more games than Jacoby Brissett?
Because Russell Wilson walked into a zoo year one with the Broncos, and he kind of had the lack of the benefit of the doubt in year two with the Denver Broncos. Russell Wilson, we've seen his ceiling, and we know his ceiling is winning a Super Bowl.
That's not his ceiling anymore, though.
Who's to
say?
That
was 2013.
He's still got it in him. He's still working out in the offseason. Russell Wilson still has –
that was a decade ago.
Russell Wilson can definitely – Russell Wilson can definitely start all 17 games this season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You cannot say the same thing with Jacoby Brissett.
Why not? Because if you're deciding that Drake May's not ready week one for the Patriots, and it's based off of what's around him, that offensive line, the weapons, your ability as an offense to be an actual threat on the field, that's not changing between now and week 18. They're not going to go out and get Brandon Ayuk. Looks like the Cleveland Browns are positioning themselves for that. Like, I don't see, if Drake May can't play now, why he would play week five. If I'm Jerod Mayo, this is almost like you're punting on a year. And he has a little bit of leeway to do that, even as a rookie head coach, because it's a vision from top down, right? You would hope that the infrastructure in New England, which we've seen for the past three decades, feels like one that at the very least is patient, right? Like, it's not one that's very fluctuating. It's not the Jets we're dealing with.
Not very reactionary.
Yeah, like, they can take their pounding for a year. They just took their pounding last year and ruined the quarterback and Mac Jones in the process with all of the weird shakeups with offensive coordinators, as well as not putting weapons around him. Why would you float Drake May out there this season when you're not even really trying to win? You've already signaled that white flag to the rest of the league. The Steelers, on the other hand, though, they're trying to win. And if Russell Wilson has a string of bad games, if Russell Wilson also is not taking that offense, like elevating them at all, I can see Mike Tomlin saying, Justin Fields is going to start week four. Justin Fields is going to get out there for us and try to win these football games, because he already hinted that Fields is going to be in some packages. Drake May is not going to play in any football for the Patriots unless Brissett gets hurt or they're turning that thing over. Fields is going to probably play in week one.
Yeah, but I see with the Steelers and the Patriots, it's very similar in terms of how they go about doing things. Like, you don't see a whole lot of head coach turnover. You see a whole lot of trusting the system, letting things flesh out on both sides. So I don't think comparing the two franchises is fair in this conversation. So I think they're kind of similar in this day and age. But
But which one is trying to win this year? Which one is going to make a win now move is my thing. Because Drake May, you could argue, gives the Patriots a better chance to win than Jacoby Brissett. Like, some people would make that argument. I don't think I would yet. I would have to see more, but some people would say that. That's not what their goal is, though, because they don't think they can win. The Steelers think they can win. So if Mike Tomlin or Arthur Smith comes to the realization that, hey, I think we could take this thing to the next level if we get this old fart out of here who's playing his way out of a Hall of Fame career, and we go to the young gunner and Justin Fields with something to prove and some wills, where he's like the best athlete every time he steps on the field. I can see it happening. I just don't see Drake May being a guy that takes over that job this year.
Drake May probably can start week one.
He could.
But they're not 100% convinced that he is 100% ready to play. And they're not willing to risk not knowing 100% to ruin his confidence and even hurt Drake May. They're willing to let Jacoby Brissett get hurt and to ruin his confidence. He's the adult in the
room. Absolutely
terrible. That's why Drake May isn't starting week one.
Yeah.
Because it's a long-term investment.
Well, we'll see. Again, the question is, who starts more games this NFL season, Jacoby Brissett or Russell Wilson? I think it's clearly going to be Brissett, the Dwyer alum. And that's not just me being a homer at all. We're taking your questions as well. 888-760-3776 on any fantasy football advice you want us to hold for our guy Jamie Eisenberg, who's going to be joining the show soon. Also, who you think starts more games this season, Jacoby Brissett or Super Bowl champion Mr. Danger Russ? We got BJ from Pompano on the lines here. BJ from Pompano, you're here on Theoretically Speaking. First and foremost, man, who you got, man? Who's starting more games between Brissett or Wilson?
Honestly, I think that Russell Wilson should start. 60% completing rate, you really can't beat that. The other boy, he's just not ready. Point blank and simple. I mean,
Justin Fields, you mean? You mean Justin Fields isn't ready?
Yeah, Justin Fields. Justin Fields not ready. With Russ having a run game, that should help him out compared to where he really didn't have a
dump
run
button,
game
Damian.
In Denver. And when he was at
dump
Seattle,
button,
they lost the beat. So that's really one thing. But one thing I really want to say is everybody wants their money, but everybody's not elite. An elite quarterback will defer their money like Tom Brady did. So everybody asking for their money is putting this team in a situation where, you know what, we can't win if we can't protect the quarterback.
I can't. My main thing there is if you're really putting your trust in Russell Wilson because the Steelers have a run game, you know what makes a run game better, C-Cat?
What's that?
A quarterback that also can add to that run game in Justin Fields. He, like, the stuff that Arthur Smith was able to do, again, with Taylor Heineke and Desmond Ridder in that Atlanta offense, the way that they won at that level, like, Fields would be an evolution of that. Fields would be a better option, and they're going to turn to Fields way before the Patriots even consider turning to Drake May, though he might be the better option. We got Uncle Steve Policiner, pulling up on us on the other side to hit that safe bound get around. I mean, we got to talk about this huge contract. You brought up 2014. Steph Curry is making more money than some teams had to dole out back in 2014 in the NBA, and he'll be doing that this year. Crazy stuff how that league is growing. And plus, again, we're taking your fantasy football questions for Jamie Eisenberg all throughout the show. Theoretically Speaking, on the move from Bounce in Delray Beach. Pull up on us. It's a party as we keep it kicking here on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking.
Same thing last
streaming
time.
Live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Come and kick it with the fellas. We're at Bounce Delray Beach. And if you don't know where that is, I mean, it's right where the Delray Beach Market is. And I was about to say was, C-Cat, and I was reinformed today that no, is. This is Delray Beach Market still, and Bounce is one of the action-packed places here. Plenty of screens all around. A good sports bar / nightclub. And the only gripe I have with the place, C-Cat.
What's that?
It's a Gators and a Seminoles bar. So on Saturdays, they're going to be pumping up Florida and Florida State. As a Miami Hurricanes fan, I can't get with it.
See, I was thinking of, you know, that picture where it's the Bloods and the Crips tying their bandanas together?
Yeah.
That's what I think the unity of those two Florida teams. They just keep the U out.
Right. Like, what's up with that, actually? I actually have a bigger bone to pick than I thought at first. Like, how are you a Florida and a Florida State bar? And we can't get any Cane stuff in here. And Saturday, I'll be out of town, so I won't be able to pull up. But I'm sure it's going to be packed in here with Gators fans as the Canes visit the Swamp to kick the season off. We kick off this part of the show by bringing in our uncle, our favorite uncle here on Theoretically Speaking, Steve Policiner, or as we know him here, Uncle Steve.
He's our favorite uncle.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
A Palm Beach County Sports Commission Hall of Famer and president of Good Karma Brands. It's Steve Policiner.
Uncle Steve, Uncle Steve, Uncle Steve.
Presented by PNC Bank. Committed to making a difference in the South Florida community.
Uncle Steve, Uncle Steve, Uncle Steve,
Uncle Steve, what's happening with you? And before we get into any sports or the get around and everything like that, I got to ask you an honest question because I know you're a good guy. You'll keep it G with me, Uncle Steve. Is my hairline receding?
You know, I just saw you last week in person.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like it was, like, receding. You have high hair.
Yes.
But I don't think you have a receding hairline.
Okay. So it's just, I might be in the early stages of that as I transition, as I become an uncle like you, you know what I'm saying? Like, I might be in the early stages of that. And you know what? I'll get a fedora and cover that thing up. It's no problem with me. Uncle Steve, you might not be with us here on the move at Bounce Delray, but if you were to take a ride on over, the best way to go would be the safe bound get around. There it is. Appreciate you, Pox. It's the Safe Bound Get Around, and it's brought to you by Safe Bound Moving and Storage, family owned, Florida's most trusted moving company. You know, they actually offer temporary and permanent storage options as well. So maybe if you don't have a move to make within the Sunshine State, maybe you just need a place to keep all your belongings so it's not clouding up a room. You don't want that catch-all room. Use them for your storage needs. Or you could be like my sister, who's set up with Safe Bound Moving and Storage this weekend to make her move from South Florida to Georgia. So it's all-encompassing. They are Florida's moving company, and they have a very strong commitment to the community. So your stress-free move starts when you start with Safe Bound. You're safe with Safe Bound. Safe Bound Moving and Storage for the Safe Bound Get Around. Damian, what's our first stop?
Next stop,
San Francisco. Steph Curry and the Warriors agreed to a one-year, $62.6 million extension. Curry guaranteed $178 million over the next 3 years.
Steve, in 2014, the NBA salary cap was $63 million. In 2027, Steph Curry's going to make $62.6 million. Is that growth?
It certainly is. And, you know, obviously, as a result of the evolution of the media rights deal, I just think it's neat that, you know, Curry, like, I was with somebody last week, and they said, is it unreasonable to think that Steph Curry and LeBron James will end up on the same team and the team will be the Spurs this year in a trade deadline? And I said, there is 0% chance, because Steph Curry is the kind of guy that wants to be on one team his whole career. And now there's no question that will be the case.
Yeah, he's a Warriors lifer. The only question is, does LeBron maybe think about doing a final lap, a victory lap with Curry in Golden State? I'm still wishing for it. When I saw the Olympics lineup and I knew we would have Curry and LeBron, I was parading for it. It's less likely now that Curry re-upped, but we'll see. What's next?
Next stop,
Southside Chicago.
Southside.
Last night, the White Sox were down one run. The bottom of the ninth, two men on. Andrew Vaught hit the ball over the wall for the walk-off. Here's the call, courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago.
And ball, two strikes.
Purposes just robs Vaughn of a home run. That would have been ball game.
You know, it's funny. My guy here at Bounce, he actually from the south side of Chicago. He's a Cubs fan, not a White Sox fan, and I congratulated him on making that decision as a kid, despite the regional, you know, tie there, because damn, they keep finding new ways to lose. That's absolutely insane. I think they're going to break the record, Steve. I mean, where are you leaning on that?
Yeah, and the shame of it is, unlike in like football, basketball, you're like, oh, if you get last, like you get the number one pick. It's not the same sort of like the excitement about losing isn't the same in baseball. Like there's a point where in the NFL or NHL, you're just like, all right, whatever, we're going to lose, but we're going to get, you already know who you're going to get pretty much. Baseball, it's like, we'll see you in 3 years. They're in the minors. Are they going to make it through injury-wise? So that's like the part that's like disheartening as a baseball fan. So then you keep, you know, got to root for the win. And it's very hard. I don't think having the worst record in MLB is something like you want to shoot for. There's a point in the other sports, you're just like, all right, let's go. Give me the worst record.
I will say this.
It's every day, too. It's every day.
It's going to be a long winter for all my people in Chicago. Here's what can keep you warm. 3 or 4 years from now, you might have Paul Skeens on your team. A guy like him. What's the next stop?
Next stop?
Vegas, baby, woo! Vegas. The NFL is restricting Tom Brady's access as a Fox Sports announcer and will penalize him for public criticism of NFL officials or other teams due to his pending deal with the Raiders. Is this worth it?
I gotta say, of all people, I don't feel like Tom Brady needs all of that access to still be interesting on the games. I got a lot of love for Greg Olsen. I hate that he got bumped for Tom Brady in this weird situation. But, Steve, am I crazy for thinking I still kind of want to have Tom Brady on the, you know, lead team for at least a year?
No, I do too. I think it's just going to be that much more scrutiny on him. Think about it. He was already going to be heavily, you know, studied and scrutinized. And now it's like, oh, Brady doesn't say anything. Maybe he wouldn't have said anything anyway, but, like, he didn't call out that official because of the complexity, you know, about what's going on with him with the Raiders. Like, I don't like the optics of it. I don't think it will change much, him as a broadcaster. I think he'll be insightful. I think he's going to break down throwing motions. I think he's going to tell you what he sees when he's reading defenses just as a quarterback. Will he miss a little bit by not being able, you know, to necessarily, like, have the same access? Yes. But it's, I mean, what brain would you rather be in than Tom Brady's brain?
Exactly.
I don't need him to see anything. I just want to know what he's doing, what he's seeing in that moment. And I think he'll still be excellent. I just think there's going to be a lot of people coming after him, you know, the naysayers. But here's one thing Brady could do. He could just pay the fine. He made a lot of money.
That's very true. That's absolutely true. Yeah. It would not hurt him. Uncle Steve.
He could say, I have an obligation to the fans. So if it cost me $25,000 to say that fact judge blew the call, okay.
That would be more entertaining, actually. Yeah. I would absolutely love that. Uncle Steve, one last thing before we get you out of here. We're bringing in a guy that I'm told that you're friends with, Jamie Eisenberg, fantasy football guru with CBS Sports. We're bringing him in next. Do you have – yes, yeah, of course. So now you're already pulling his leg. Do you at least have a fantasy football question for him as we enter fantasy football draft weekend?
Yeah, where was he the last two nights when I had fantasy drafts? No.
Oh.
There seems to be this, it's crazy how it slipped to wide receivers earlier. You know, like the emphasis right now on wide receivers. So here is Jamie there?
Jamie actually is, we're getting a headset on Jamie right now. By the way, Jamie, when I told Steve we had you on, he said who? So that's how he started this off. But I think he has a question for you now live on the air.
Okay.
By the way, I think I connected this thing for tonight, but I forgot to get invited. Like, I'm pretty sure Jamie reached out to me, and I put him with whoever, and I'm in town.
Wow.
And nobody invited me.
This is big time Steve Polisiner?
Yeah, this is big time Steve.
Big time. Right.
Yeah. He's Uncle Jamie. Steve on this thing.
Jamie.
Do you have a fantasy football question for him?
Yeah, I mean, I have like seven, but... Let me go with one that isn't as you know, as normal. Jamie, those teams that have like one running back that aren't going to be good, they're going to have to dump it off a lot, i.e. like my Giants with Devin Singletary. Are there a couple running backs that you actually feel like might be elevated because they have, like, there's some prolifically bad offenses right now. Are there a few running backs like Singletary, there's probably one or two others that were on my mind when I was drafting, you know, the other day, that maybe you will that you will elevate further simply because there's not a lot of options?
I mean, there certainly are. You know, you look at there's a high-end guy that comes to mind would be Alvin Kamara, you know, just because he's, you know, not going to share a lot from a catching perspective. You know, last year he had two games that he had 25 catches combined in those two games, so he's going to, you know, benefit from Derek Carr and potentially a bad offensive line. Ramondre Stevenson with the Patriots, or Antonio Gibson,
yes.
Both those guys.
Yes.
You know, they're both going to be involved in some bad offenses and certainly getting those dump-off passes. You mentioned the Giants. You know, we'll see Daniel Jones, I'm sure, running for his life a little bit behind that offensive line. So, you know, Jaleel McLaughlin in Denver, you know, he's going to have an opportunity. Same with Javonte Williams, but McLaughlin more the pass-catching guy. So there's certainly a few of these, you know, pass-catchers that, depending on your scoring system, when you're in, you know, leagues where catches count, they benefit. When you're in leagues that, you know, are more touchdown dependent, you know, standard formats, you don't really love these type of guys.
Jamie Eisenberg dropping gems already. Uncle Steve, it's actually too late because he already drafted, so those are going to be gems. Just
no,
for
we have a draft. Steve and I play in the league together. So.
What do you mean? Yeah, I'm in Jamie. I'm still waiting for the date. I mean, Jamie.
The date
I'm
has been established. The date is Monday. There actually is a Frankel in the building too. You know, not the one that's in our league, but, you know, the esteemed Adam Frankel is in the building. We get him to show back up. But, no, Steve, we got our draft on Monday. Be prepared.
Lock in.
Yeah.
Lock
Theo,
in.
Theo, you should feel honored, man. Jamie's the commissioner of 39 fantasy football leagues.
And that's 40 this year.
I've been permitted to be in one of them for the last 10 years. But it is actually an honor. It's like, who has a chance against Jamie?
I don't think anybody does. And who has a chance of getting you off the phone lines when you're just yapping it up, Steve? We got more radio to do. Appreciate your time. Next time, pull up in person and kick
Big
it with
time.
Us.
Big time.
All right, have a great time, guys.
Thank you. That was Uncle Steve kicking it with us on the Baptist Health Hotline. And you heard him. You got a preview already. Jamie Eisenberg, who's going to give us some fantasy football gems on the other side. We're on the move at Bounce Delray Beach. Pull up if you still got a chance. And also call in for some fantasy football questions. That's Jamie Eisenberg and C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
College football is back, baby. And Miller Lite wants to celebrate it this weekend with ESPN West Palm and the street team. So come and watch Miami take on Florida at Hurricanes and Stewart. From 3:30 to 5:30 p.m., you can show us your tailgate toss skills for a chance to win some prizes from your favorite teams thanks to Palm Beach Autographs. Enjoy $2 Miller Lite drafts during the game and five for $15 buckets all season long. You must be 21 or older to participate. Molson Coors reminds you to always drink responsibly, and we'll see you there. The other option, too, if you're kicking it, especially out here at Bounce Delray Beach, because I found out here that this is a Gators and a Noles bar, so I got to assume on Saturday they're going to be having some Gators fans pour in here. And speaking of Gators fans, Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports fantasy guru, as well as a guy that just knows ball in general, pulls up on us here on Theoretically Speaking, and you're a Gators alum. You're a Gators fan as well. What you thinking about Saturday in the Swamp, man? Are you feeling good?
I'm not. it's going to be a rough season, but you know, hopefully this is kind of like a national championship game for us. You know, we win this one. It's a, you know, bragging rights, obviously, against an in-state rival, and then maybe things, you know, get off to a good start. You know, I'm hopeful. You know, you're obviously hopeful at the beginning of the season, but you know, Napier can recruit. Now can he coach?
Yeah,
you know, that's what we got
to
see.
Yeah, well, look, Miami trying to see the same thing with Mario Cristobal to a certain extent. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of it's going to be a big battle in the Swamp there, hoping that my Canes can pull it off. We got C-Cat in here as well. We got fantasy football questions. We're taking some of them live here at Bounce Delray Beach. So if you have anybody here in the building that wants to pull up and ask a fantasy football question to my guy Jamie Eisenberg, you can come right up. I know we had a young fella in a Sauce Gardner jersey here that wanted to ask a question, so we'll lead it off with that one before we start delivering some that we got here on social media. And who do we have here? What's your name, brother?
Mikey.
We got Mikey in here, and you're a Jets fan.
Yes.
Mikey the Jets fan is up in here, and he's got a question for the one and only Jamie Eisenberg. What's your fantasy football question?
I have seventh pick.
Okay.
What player should I look after, like, getting?
Is it, do you get points per catch? Do you get a PPR? Or is it non
like, the best.
The best player?
Yeah. Okay.
So if you're getting points per catch, a PPR league, then I think you want to look at a receiver, because you'll probably end up with somebody like, let's say, Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson or Amon-Ra St. Brown. Any of those three guys should be excellent. If it's non-PPR, where you're not getting points per catch, then I think you might want to lean a little bit more toward the running backs, but still those receivers are going to be high. But obviously, as a Jets guy, I'm sure you're hoping Breece Hall falls there. You could also reach a little bit for Garrett Wilson, but he might be able to come back to you in round two. But you're in a great spot. I love the seven spot because it gives you a very early pick in round two that's still going to give you some elite-level talent.
Appreciate that. That was perfect. That's the way you kick things off. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to follow that up with a better question. With a better question, because, I mean, he just set the table here. That's what we're doing here at Bounce Delray. Jamie Eisenberg pulling up with the fantasy football advice. For you, you are in how many leagues now this year, if you could estimate it?
So I'm in about 25 redraft leagues. So, you know, start or dynasty.
Yeah.
You know, so start fresh, essentially, from the season. And then I've probably done about 25 best ball drafts, which is you just kind of draft, set it and forget it. You know, and those are fun. You can do that on Underdog or at DraftKings, you know, so those are easy. But 25 redraft leagues, and those are the ones that are fun. You know, you're drafting and playing those out for the season.
Exactly, and those are a lot of fun. Those are the ones that catch the waves, and then once you do those a couple times, then you start thinking about doing keeper leagues and dynasty leagues. And
well, you said you're doing your first dynasty league,
I'm
right?
doing my first dynasty league this year, so I am. Before, I'm not going to do it on there. I'll wait till afterwards and just pick your brain a little bit. It's a super flex, my first time doing two QBs. I got a lot of questions about that. But we have another question right here in person on Theoretically Speaking as we're on the move at Bounce Delray Beach. We got to hold on. Hold on, before you start, you got to pump the brakes, give me your name, and then tell me who you're a fan of.
Dylan. I'm a fan of The Dolphins.
Dylan, the fan of the Dolphins, he's got a Tyreek Hill jersey on, and he's got a question for my guy, Jamie Eisenberg. What you got?
I have fourth pick. What pick? What player should I look after?
Well, obviously, if Tyreek is there, that'd be a great start. You know, he's going to have another fantastic season. Two seasons in a row of 1,700 yards. That's hard to do. One of the only guys in NFL history to accomplish that. But he could be the first overall pick, second overall pick. You could be looking at a running back, so McCaffrey probably off the board. So Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, that range. Again, if you want to take one of those receivers, so not Tyreek Hill, maybe not CeeDee Lamb. The next guy for me is the jersey that your friend is wearing, Justin Jefferson. I think even with the quarterback situation being a little bit concerning with Sam Darnold, I still like Jefferson. By the way, Dylan,
yeah,
I coached him when he was 4 years old playing T-ball.
Oh, really? Dylan, okay. He's got a nice swing.
Yeah, oh, beautiful.
I see he's got beautiful. The confidence, so yep. I'm sure the swing
he's a star.
Follows
stud.
With that.
Absolute stud.
Appreciate that, Dylan. We have another question here in the Jay Jettas, the Justin Jefferson jersey. What's your name, brother?
Marley.
We got Marley. I'm guessing you're a Vikings fan?
No.
Well, who are you a fan of?
Eagles.
Eagles, okay. We got a Marley the Eagles fan, and you can thank the Eagles if you're a Vikings fan for having Jay Jettas. Who would you that might have went over his head. Yeah, that might have went over his head. What's your question here for my guy, Jamie Eisenberg?
What do you think of C.J. Stroud?
You know, he was amazing as a rookie. Obviously had a fantastic, you know, season, and he did that with some bad offensive line play. He did that with Tank Dell, you know, one of their star receivers, missing the end of the season with a broken leg. And now he gets Stephon Diggs, a former Viking, former Bill as well. So the receiving core gets better. Offensive line gets better. They did a great job in keeping their offensive coordinator in Bobby Slowick, so they're going to have the system still in place. So he's going to be an MVP candidate in his second season and a great fantasy quarterback as well. So one of those guys that's in the top five mix.
Got to love that. C.J. Stroud, I mean, the one thing I think about with the Texans is if I want a Texan this year, it's either Stroud or maybe Mixon. I'm afraid, though, to attack those receivers. Where do you kind of rank at ADP? Where do you rank, like, who you end up getting the most in these drafts between Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, and Tank Dell? Because it's a risk.
So I buy into Nico Collins. I think he'll be on the field the most. And I do think that he's got the most upside in terms of the trio. Tank Dell's the one I look at second, and he's actually going behind Stephon Diggs based on average draft position, so at least on our side on CBS. Mm-hmm. Diggs is the one that I avoid. He's 30 years old, and when receivers, you know, I'm an old man, but when you see receivers 30, 31, you start to see the drop-off. And his birthday is in November. Mm. The tail off for him started around November when he turned 30. He's going to be 31 this year. So I tend to shy away from those older guys.
He's also a partier, so you could imagine it might have started when he, you
it
know,
might have been,
30th
yes.
birthday party. You got to do it big.
That's right.
That's some expert inside analysis right there. C-Cat, you are a commissioner of a league that I just joined, and this league is now turning into a keeper league.
Yeah, it's a keeper. Kind of a half measure between a dynasty and a redraft because it's the first time we've ever done anything like a keeper slash dynasty. What are the pros and cons of doing a keeper league, not fully committing to a dynasty?
So the pros would be is you don't have to worry about keeping your entire roster. So when guys like Stephon Diggs or Devontae Adams, those old receivers, you don't have to worry about keeping them. You keep, you know, the players that you want. If you're keeping three, you know, you tend to look at, let's say, for example, quarterback, running back, tight end. If you're going to do it that way, you know, keep one of each. Or you just keep the three best available players. You could also do it where there's a cost at keeping them, you know. So if you pick them in the first round, they're a first round keeper as well. My buddy and one of the main men over here at Bounce, Mike D'Alora, who's over there.
Yeah.
He had a keeper draft himself last night, and his keepers were Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, and Justin Jefferson. And Mike, unfortunately, did not listen to me when I told him take Rashi Rice over Xavier Worthy.
Ooh.
But he still got both.
Oh, you got both of them?
You got both.
Oh, okay. Well, it worked out.
It did work out.
Well, I got a question. Competing in all these fantasy leagues, everyone in every league that you're in knows that you're the fantasy football guy. They know this is your profession for CBS Sports. Do you kind of get the cold shoulder when it comes to trades? Because if it's coming from you, you probably know more than them.
You get that a little bit. The league that I was in the longest, I won three times before I got this job. Mm. Did not win. I got the job in 2006. I just won again this past season.
Wow.
So it's not always success just because you have a job. It's a lot of luck. You know, I think the skill is getting to the playoffs. Luck is winning a championship. But to answer your question, yes, sometimes it's like, what do you know that I don't know?
Yeah.
You know, who have you spoken to that I didn't hear about on, you know, on ESPN or NFL Network or something? You know, so sometimes you get people like that, understandably so.
I have a real question. This is this one you might not want to admit on air. You ever throw some curveballs because you know people are listening? Are there some players? Has it ever had? Not now. Obviously today, these days, you're doing it straight balling.
Yeah.
But since 06, anywhere in there did you throw a curveball so that you can still take advantage? You're in a lot of fantasy football leagues, a lot of money tied up.
Yes, I've never done that, but I'll joke when time, you know, we'll go into the draft and I'll say, you know, I just updated my rankings. Don't follow my rankings, you know, because in CBS you can sort by myself, my colleagues. Yeah. Don't follow mine. Follow somebody else's. You know, and that's the worst is when someone will sit there. You're picking next. You know the word snipe. You know, someone right. will snipe your player, and they're like, "Oh, I just saw it in your rankings. That was the highest player." So that's why I took him. Like, great, thank you.
It's like you don't even need Connor Stallions. You can just type in CBSSports.com
that's
and
right.
pull up his rankings, and that's all the advanced scouting you need. That is, I have a real question too for you here. As we got Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports, the fantasy guru. Is this the longest you've ever been into an interview with somebody not asking about your brother?
My cousin.
Or your cousin, yeah. Wouldn't it would have been?
No, I get asked about it quite a bit. Actually, we just did some commercials for our network and our podcast, and I had to pretend that I got in a car accident. I could show it to you during the break, and you can
Please.
See it on our Twitter feed. I had to pretend I got in a car accident and had to do some acting. I use air quotes for that. And I sent it to my family, and I said, "Hey, when do I get my SAG card?" And Jesse, my cousin, replied back. He said, "Maybe I'm in a little bit of trouble." And I said, "You're good. Trust me.
Yeah.
You're good."
Yeah, you're chasing him. Well, you know, you better have been picking up some tips, just like they pick up your fantasy football tips.
That's right.
You got access right there.
If he's not giving fantasy advice, I won't try and act, and we'll be good.
Yeah.
We'll stay in our lanes.
That is perfectly put right there, as we're here again at Bounce Delray Beach. We do need to get to a break. Before we do, actually, we'll kick these to the other side because I want to spend some more time with our guy, Jamie. That's CCAT. That's Jamie Eisenberg. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3. Summer anymore. You don't want your AC going out on you. The trusted AC experts in Palm Beach County is EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. And the way to get in touch with them is edsisyes.com, because EDS is yes. They've been keeping you cool since 2006. 24/7 support, timely service, and you can book it online. Where at, Theo? EDSisYes.com. That's where you need to go. A trained comfort specialist for all your AC and plumbing needs. EDSisYes.com. We still got Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports hanging on, and he's going to take another question here from Bounce Del Rey. What's your name, good sir?
Drew.
We got Drew, who you're a fan of.
The Dolphins.
Go Dolphins. And what's your question for my guy, Jamie Eisenberg?
Which QB should I select?
Which QB should you select? Okay, so that's a tough one because it's, you know, generic. But who's a QB that you kind of have an eye on this year?
So if you don't get one of the top three guys of Mahomes, Allen, Josh Allen, or Jalen Hurts, I look for Kyler Murray. I look for Anthony Richardson. I like the quarterbacks that run. Jaden Daniels as well. C.J. Stroud. If you miss on some of those guys, then you could look at Jared Goff, who's got a great schedule. Only three games outdoors this season. Tua is going to be obviously very good. So it's a deep position. You don't have to reach. But look in those middle rounds. Kyler Murray is my favorite.
There you go. Kyler Murray being his favorite is an excellent point, because that guy's got some weapons and also probably a little bit of a chip on his shoulder this year. Chips on shoulders is what underdogs tend to have. And our guy, C-Cat, he's the man when it comes to pointing out which underdogs you should lock in with. It's time for Cats and Dogs on Theoretically Speaking.
David versus Goliath.
Be a dog.
Rocky versus Apollo Creed.
We don't need no meow.
Average Joe's versus Globo Jim.
We don't need no cats.
Sea Cat versus the Sportsbook.
We need more dogs.
Underdogs are the lifeblood of sports. And every week, Sea Cat gives you the underdogs that will shock the world. Welcome to Cats and Dogs, presented by SafeBound. You're safe with SafeBound.
Oh, yeah. Now it matters. Week one college football officially here with a delicious slate starting tonight on a Thursday. Bounce Del Rey in a bad spot to usher in the season. We start with tonight's clash, 8 p.m. on ESPN. Did you know? Bison have large humps on their shoulders. Buffalo don't.
Whoa.
Bison have sharper horns. Well, buffalo horns, they're curvier.
Huh.
Bison tend to be larger than buffalo. Bison have thick coats. Buffaloes have smoother, ladylike coats. Bison, they have thick beards. Buffalo, they don't. Bison are known to be aggressive, unpredictable, while buffalo, they are generally more docile. They're easier to domesticate. All signs point to FCS powerhouse North Dakota State Bison to whoop that Colorado butt on national TV. Take the boys in enemy territory that are wearing the green and yellow. North Dakota State plus 10.5, and on the money line, plus 325. Sorry, Coach Prime. Week two was where you get your first win.
Oh, my God. So, C-Cat, you have more there.
I've got more.
Oh, my God, because this is a crazy pick. I think the Buffs are going to win, but keep going.
We head to the game of the weekend, Christmas in August, noon Saturday, number 14 Clemson, number 1 Georgia, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, ABC. At least 10 players have been arrested or cited for reckless driving, racing, or speeding this year from the Georgia Bulldogs. Immaturity, stupidity, Georgia football. While we're at it, let's get a real stat in here. Did you know that Dabo Swinney is 12-1 against the spread with Clemson when he is 5.5-point underdog or more? When you put him against the wall, Dabo Swinney attacks you and rips your fade off. That's why I'm going with the Clemson Tigers, plus 13.5. And on the money line, while you're at it, sprinkle a little cashish on that plus 450. Those are your two dogs going into week one college football. North Dakota State, plus 10.5. Clemson, plus 13.5.
I think everybody who's picking North Dakota State to beat Colorado is an absolute idiot.
We all saw what happened with Colorado State.
You're using the hate you have for Coach Prime to cloud your judgment for these dudes. Got Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter, two of the five best players in college football, maybe two of the top 10 guys going in the NFL draft next season. And he got a lot of transfers and rebolstered that roster. I'm not all in on Coach Prime either as a guy, but that Colorado football team ain't finna get punched up on them by no FCS squad.
Just watch. So, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm not worried.
Last I checked, Shador didn't transfer in this year. Travis Hunter didn't transfer in this year. They had those same two guys last year.
They got more experience at the big boy ball.
I see now. Yeah. Last place in the Pac-12. Didn't matter. It's going to continue into 2024.
So. It's a hot pick. Everybody's been on it. Everybody's been saying, oh, the Bison are going to slip up and get them. As a Hampton Pirate, though, I can never cheer for a Bison because that was our rivals at Howard, the other HU.
Buffalo's a weak-ass animal, by the way. The Bison dominates it. If you ever confuse the two, Buffalo and Bison, don't do it again because we're talking about two different animals literally here.
The Buffs are going to run them boys out the door. They're going to run them right out of the building. I can't believe all that hate that y'all are piling up is clouding y'all's judgment. I keep it Gito. I keep it objective. I got the Buffalo winning. That's where you're going to mess up. Clemson, though, they might cover. That was a fun one. Appreciate Jamie Eisenberg and everybody that pulled up here at Bounce Delray Beach. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. Go in love, go in peace, go in joy.